Oh, test, test. Okay, can y'all hear me?
Only if you want to. Yes, I am.
Only if you want to hear me, I'll turn it on. Okay, before we even get started, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. God, we just thank you for the ability for us to see, come here and meet and to learn more about you. God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the servants that are here at this church. I thank you for this community. And God, I just pray now that you just be with us as we look at your word. And God, I just lift up this room to you tonight, Lord. We also just want to pray for our country and all that's going on, Lord. We want to lift up all the brokenness and the brokenhearted to you tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're talking about how to take a humanly negative word or an idea situation and turn it into a heavenly positive one. And like everybody knows, we've talked about today, there's a lot of negativity in this world. There's a lot of hate, and there's a lot of just evil. And it's hard, especially being a believer and seeing all the hatred and the evil that's going around in our society. Sometimes, I dare to say, we can even look in our own families, our own churches, our own communities, and see that very same evilness and that hatred. Even with believers, there's been numerous accounts of believers fighting against each other. You know, we've already won the battle against evil, against Satan. In the end, the outcome of the story is we win. But a lot of times we're busy fighting a battle within ourselves as a body of believers. So tonight, I want to do two things. One, we're going to talk a little bit about Saul. And he was the worst of the worst. The negative that's going on in this country right now, that was him. And if you have your Bible, here in just a few minutes, I'm going to read from Acts 9. And that's going to be in starting in verse 1, I believe. But I pulled up the background, a biography on Paul, or Saul, as he is first known. And I just want to read some of this to you before we actually look at the scripture. As most of us have heard or know, the Apostle Paul was known as Saul to begin with, Saul of Tarsus. He was born in an Asian city called Tarsus. His parents were Jewish, presumably strict Pharisees. They were also Roman citizens. And it's also important that to know, even though Judea was within the Roman Empire, most Jews were not Roman citizens. Citizenship outside of Italy was an honor reserved for people who made great contributions to the empire. So we can presume that Paul's parents, they were probably people of influence, probably had money, and probably did things with that money to gain the citizenship. At the age of 14, Paul was sent to Jerusalem to train to be a rabbi. When they actually went to train, they usually trained and they had a second job, if you will, because, you know, to something to fall back on. You know, basically like nowadays being a bivocational pastor. You know, you were a part-time pastor, you had to be part-time something else to make ends meet. So he was a tent maker. Paul grew to be a man of firm convictions and fiery temperament. You know, we all know, looking at his life before and after his salvation through Christ, that he was very, this is fiery, I'm trying to think of another word to put it, very determined, passionate, there you go, very passionate individual. If he had a belief or a feeling about something, he was going to let you know. He was not ashamed to let you know his beliefs and where he stood on it, which before his conversion, he was persecuting Christians. He had a very passionate and fiery belief that they were doing what they shouldn't be doing. It was heresy in his eyes. And so, and that heresy, of course, was Christianity. Their spreading of Christianity, he thought it was just totally wrong. And Paul was among the foremost front runners of persecutionists for Christians. He was there in the stoning of Stephen, and he encouraged that violent act. He didn't participate in it, but he sure did encourage it. And also, he participated in persecution by dragging out believers from their homes, both the men and the women, and just throwing them into jail because of their belief. Kind of some of the things we see today, just because of the way somebody believes or the way somebody lives their life or because of the color of their skin, they're getting treated a certain way. And that's no different. That's been going on since the beginning of the time. People have been treated differently because of all sorts of reasons. But then he undertook a mission to Damascus, and he intended to continue attacking Christians. That was his intent. He was going to go, and he was going to keep on persecuting Christians, and that was his main idea. But on the way, he had a vision, and this vision is described, and here in a minute we'll read for the scripture. Paul saw Jesus, and he asked Paul, and he persisted and kept on asking him. He's like, "Why are you persecuting Christians? Why are you doing this?" And then after that, that questioning, he commissioned him to change his life. So right now we'll go to Acts 9. And this what I'm reading from is from the New American Standard Bible. So this is the conversion of Saul. "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he was traveling. It happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you that you what you must do.' The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." So, in Paul's passionate intent to persecute Christians on his way to Damascus, God got a hold of him. Through his humanly negative idea of persecuting these Christians whom he had an idea that he wanted to get rid of, God had a different plan and a different idea for him. God had a heavenly interference for him, and something he was going to use Saul's negative life and his negative choices and his negative influence and turn it into something positive. So in verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias came to come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did in your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine.'" Right there, that caught my attention, because when we look before we have come to Christ, we did a lot of harm in God's name because we didn't know any better. And once God removes that negative human side of us and puts that Holy Spirit within us, that's exactly what happens. You know, God calls us to be chosen. Right there on verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias departed and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately There fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. After this, scripture goes on to talk about how Paul proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, because he saw what God had done, and he had transformed him from the negative, hateful, persecuting of Christians that he was involved with, and transformed him into the chosen one. He was chosen. He told him, he said, hey, he's chosen. I have plans for him. I have plans for him to do good in my name. And he spent all that time doing bad and doing negative things in God's name, but he took that and he changed his heart, and he completely led him in a different direction. And I feel like today we talked about this in youth and a little bit this morning. It sounds almost cliche or simple to say that, well, what the world needs is Jesus. And that's the truth. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we need. And it sounds very simple, and it is simple, but it's not. The fact of the matter is this world needs a Savior, and this world needs Jesus. And that's why we see so much hate and anger and persecution and discord and war and battling, is because there is a lack of a greater power. And that greater power is missing from our world, from our country. And a lot of the times, to be honest, it's lacking from our personal lives or from our church, that connection with God and that relationship. We talked about this morning about how God doesn't want, through our negative, or through our sin, through our negative lifestyle, how we were before, God doesn't want to just cut us off. He still, through his great love, wants to draw us into him and have us to spend eternity with him. He doesn't want us to live an eternity without him in hell. He doesn't want that. He wants to, every chance he has, every opportunity, he wants to draw us back to him. Because that's the positive about God. He never wants to just cast you aside and throw you away. But the world, so many times, that's what the world has done with God, is cast God out of our country, out of our schools, and out of our society. And that's why we have so much chaos going on right now. It's because we've cast out the one thing that can fix all of our problems, the one who died for everything to pay for all of our iniquities, like we talked about this morning, to blot out our transgressions, to forget they even existed. That one in Jesus, we're casting to the side as a society. And if we go back to that, go back to what this country's been founded on, and go back to worshiping Jesus and serving a God who loves us, that's when that hate and those things fade away. That's the only way. So Paul, he was known. His name preceded himself, as it said in the scripture. They're like, oh man, that guy's bad. We've heard about what he did in your name. And Brian alluded to this morning, talking about the hymn. What you do can affect thousands of people, negatively or positively. Paul had a bunch of people that followed him, that believed him, that persecuted Christians. But he was leading them down the wrong path. But then when he changed, when he saw that vision and talked to Jesus, everything changed. He started preaching the gospel and preaching that Jesus is Lord. After that, he led thousands and thousands. What we do with our responsibility is not what everybody else does, it's what we do. And a lot of the times, I'll be honest, being in the ministry for the short few years that I've been in, sometimes I've learned a lot. And one of the things I've learned is you cannot stand up here in front of people and you cannot physically lead people to Christ. It's not going to happen. It's my position, Mark's position, people that stand up and present the word to you, is to present it, and it's the Holy Spirit that's going to get a hold of your heart. And that's a hard thing to grasp, because we feel obligated. We feel a desire to pull you from that negative, that life that you're living, and man, we want to show you the good stuff, the good news. But it's not up to us. But just like Paul, how he lived his life after the fact was a big influence on thousands of people. Just being just little old us, we can have a huge impact on our society, our community, and this world. And we can have a huge impact on the hate and the anger and the things that are going on in this world. It's devastating. You know, we were at youth camp when the Orlando stuff happened. I didn't even know about it because it's hard to check your phone and do anything out there. As an adult, I keep my phone because I have kids and a family, and I've got youth kids that if something happens. But I don't get on my phone on Facebook and sit there. It's exhausting. If you've never been to youth camp, it's nonstop. There's no time for worrying about what's going on in the real world out there. And John showed up and he's like, "Hey, have you heard what's going on?" I said, "No, I have no idea." You know, that the different events from Orlando, you know, with the little kid and the shootings and all that stuff. I had no idea. And now the stuff with the police in Dallas. It's a crazy world that we're living in. It definitely is, and it's heartbreaking and it's saddening. But the only thing that we, the best thing, let me back up. The best thing we have to offer as believers is the good news that Jesus Christ paid all that debt, took all that away. At camp this year, I felt like it was different. We had a speaker, and we had a camp pastor, the leader, Ben. It wasn't like camp was dumbed down, for lack of better words, at all. But it was brought back down to the simple fact that this world needs Jesus. And we talked about the gospel, the good news. That's it. And that's all we need. And the simple fact is that this world is lacking that. And our role and our position, what we've been commanded to do, commissioned to do, is to make sure this world sees Jesus in each and every one of us. And I'll stand before you right now and I'll tell you, some days it is hard. Because like I mentioned this morning, for the last month, I've been wiped out. We had our Engage team here, which was amazing. I was here for the whole, every single time we did that. Anytime we had anything going on. Then we had youth camp right after that. Then I ran a fireworks stand after that and trying to work. So the last month I've been exhausted. But I understand that I still have a responsibility and I still have a role, and God put me here for a purpose. Some days I get a little grouchy, or probably a lot if you ask my wife. And some days I do get in a bad mood. But through working on this morning's sermon and seeing what God wanted me to see, I realized that my situation in this life right now is about 10 times better than a lot of people's situation. I haven't lost a loved one. My uncle, brother, dad, or somebody like that didn't get shot and killed. So I understand one thing. My eyes were opened up to the fact that I may have issues that are negative in my life right now that I'm not happy with, that I'm not satisfied, I'm not being content with. But I also understand with understanding those things that I have it a lot better off than a lot of people right now. And I'm very thankful to God for that. And right now, I want to do something a little differently. It kind of has something to do with this. It's because of all the negativity. I have people in my life, a few people that when it's at the bottom, when it's just, I'm done, all of a sudden I'll get a phone call or I'll get a text and it changes everything. So, and I was going to let you know this morning and I completely forgot because I was nervous and hot and burning up and choked to death with my shirt. But I forgot to tell you what I want to do tonight, and I'll start. But in times of our life, when we're going through these negative things, when we think God's not listening, God's not there, we all have people that have our back. I know that every single one in this room has somebody that encourages them or calls them or texts them or does something to change your temperament or your attitude. And so I'll go first while you're thinking if you want to share. I have, and once again, if you know me, thinking about what God has done with my life from 7 years ago, I get emotional when I talk about it. When I talk about anything regarding to where I'm at now, I get emotional because I think about how God has transformed me. And I think about the people in my life that are a huge blessing. You know, obviously this church is a huge blessing to me and people in this church. But there are other people outside of my church circle that are a huge inspiration to me and a huge blessing in my life. One is, if you know Ken Stallings, he's the owner of Four Seasons Siding and Insulation. If you don't know Ken Stallings, you need to meet that man. If you don't know him, you probably have seen him on TV, or you've seen him walking Walmart with reckless abandonment. That man gets in that store and he's like speed walking deluxe. If you try to track him down, good luck. You have to kind of cut him off. You have to go around him. He's on a mission. He's walking and he's praying. The time where I don't do this anymore, but I used to go in there and fill up tortillas and bread in the evenings, and I'd see him all the time in there. And I knew him, and I'd watch him. And I was watching what he did. And it blew me away. The first few times I really saw and understood what he did, I just thought he went in there and walked. I thought, this crazy old guy just goes in there and walks all the time. I didn't know what he did. I really started paying attention to watching him. He goes over with employees, with vendors, with customers, and he prays with them. It's a huge blessing and honor for you to be in the middle of your crazy, negative, humanly chaotic day, and to have somebody come and lay their hand on you and pray with you. I never prayed with anybody in public like that before. Never. That man is a huge inspiration to me. Now, I don't have any shame in that, because he inspired me to not have shame and not and be prideful of what God has done for me, and be proud of it, and be boastful, and don't worry about what people think. And so he was one that was a huge inspiration to me, just in that, and then in his son and daughter-in-law losing their 4-year-old daughter, Zeta. You know, just to see his faith never wavered, ever. Every time I see that man, I ask him how he's doing. I mean, I'm blessed. It's never I'm tired or I've had a bad day. Never. And he's a huge inspiration. Another one real quick, I'll tell you, most of you know him. Walter Masters, that comes for our VBS. He's a huge inspiration to me. I met him, now it's been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I guess, I don't know. I was doing my sales route, I was in La Mesa, and I would usually not drive behind this one store, but I just happened to drive behind it. And I looked and I saw this big old giant RV with a truck, had a little man with a cross, and so I was pretty intrigued. So I drove up behind there, I was taking pictures with my phone. I see this guy get out, and he goes, they have a little laundromat at the store. And he sees me, so I get out, and I start talking to him, you know, telling him, you know, I said, man, I really like the back of your RV. He said, oh, really? I said, yes, sir. And we got talking, you know, let him know that I was a believer. And at that time, it was right before God had been laying on my heart about being a youth pastor. And so I shared that with him, because Walter, if you've met Walter and talked to Walter, he just has this, there's just something about him. It's, you see Jesus in him. It's like if you were just to run into Jesus, but you didn't know it was Jesus, and you could spill your guts to him and tell him everything in the world, that's how Walter is when you see Walter, when you meet him. So I talked to Walter, and I shared about what I was dealing with, and he said, can I pray with you? I said, sure. So from that day to this day, Walter has been a huge inspiration to me, because of what he does. He walks out there with his cross every day. He goes to both spring breaks in like South Padre and walks through those rowdy, crowded, you know, drunk teenagers, and he serves God with everything he has. But also, Walter is the one where he'll call me on my birthday. He texts me on Father's Day. Morning before last, I think it was, I'll check my phone. Morning before last, like I said, I've had a rough month. It's been a long month. I get a text from him. Praying for you today. Have a blessed day. Love you. There's nothing better than that. Because of the diligence that those men have in serving the Lord that they love, it helps me fight that negative. Without that, I don't know if I could do it, because I have a backing of these Christian men that support me and love me regardless. So if you'd like to share anything, you know, the floor is open. If you want to share, I'll go right ahead. Because I didn't tell them this morning. I was going to do verses of encouragement, but I forgot to tell you this morning. But either if you have a verse or of encouragement that you go to, or like I told you, just somebody in your life that you go to, or somebody that just encourages you and helps you just fend off the stuff from the world. It's just amazing seeing him. even if he's really, really busy, most of the time I make it a point to where I go to him and I go, you know, talk to him. Every now and then I'll just let him go, and I'll just work, and I won't bother him. But it's amazing just to watch him. He has like Paul had that intent. He was going to go and start keep persecuting Christians. You know, Ken has that intent. He's like, I'm going to keep loving Christians, and I'm going to keep loving people. And it's like he has these blinders on. He's like, I don't care what anything else is, anything else is happening. I don't care who sees. It doesn't matter. He's like, my focus is to pour into these people. And I'll tell you, he goes and I think he prays with every single employee in that store every day, I think. And I know there's lost people there. And I know because of what he's doing, his diligence, I know that God's reaching some of those people. But he's just one person. But like Brian said earlier, it just takes one person. And he's a great example of that. He changed the way I do things, because like I said, I would never go into a store or somewhere public and pray for somebody out loud like that. That would freak me out. I didn't like that. But now, I don't have a problem at all. And I see it's not just a blessing to them, but to you. Because the blessing that they receive by you just letting your guard down and just pouring into them in a public setting like that, regardless of what's happening, it's freeing for somebody. Because when he first did that for me, it was pretty amazing. So, well, it's like I said, when I think about the road that I've been on, the way that God has designed and planned out my life, the things that I've gone through, I get emotional, because I'm very thankful for what God has, you know, done for my life. And I'm very thankful that the circumstances that happened led me to choose to follow his plan. Because that's the thing also. In this negative world, we can choose to follow whatever we want to follow. But it's up to us to follow that plan and be that one that makes a difference. There's so many times you hear stories about, you know, hear the story that Mark tells about Billy Graham, about the usher, and, you know, leading him to the front row. And, you know, how many thousands of people that did he lead to Christ? Just one little act of reading a verse, you know, being positive to somebody, sharing the gospel, sharing God's love with somebody, just in a little way, praying with somebody, calling somebody, just being there. Sometimes we forget how big a deal that is, because sometimes it affects us differently. Like if I prayed with you or prayed with another person, you might think about it differently because of whatever your circumstances are. If I called you and said, hey, thinking about you, or texted you, you might see it differently as somebody else. To somebody, it might be the most important thing that has happened to them the whole entire year. Just you giving them encouragement and just showing them that love that Jesus showed us. And that's a big part that's missing. Like, the whole thing about all the things that's going on, the hate, is the love and the encouragement from believers that we are supposed to demonstrate. I feel like that's lacking. And it's not one set, one church or one city. It's everywhere. If we focus more on loving and pouring into people in a Christ-like way, all this hate and negativity would slow down. It's never going to go away because this world's broken. It's not right. It's not going to be fixed until the end. But we have a responsibility to say, you know what? I can step up and I can do my little part. We can't change the world by ourselves. It's hard. Some of us want to. We want to get out there, guns blazing, and like, oh, I'm going to lead everybody to Christ. It's a great theory, but we just have to do our little part. And doing our little part includes loving each other here at this church, supporting each other here at this church, encouraging one another here at this church. And when we're doing that, it's spreading out to our community and our school. And that's what's lacking, is the main theme that runs throughout the Bible is love because of what Jesus did. That's the one thing that's missing in our world, is a true love and a compassion for others, other human beings, and other people. It's not about agreeing with their sin or agreeing with this. It's none of that. It's agreeing with the fact that you're a human being, I'm a human being, God loved you, therefore I should love you. Period. It doesn't matter your race, color, religion, anything. And sometimes it's hard because we want to justify, well, this person, we should not like them because of this, but this person, it's okay. It's not okay any way that you look at it, because that's what's happening right now. So in this next week or two, I challenge you guys to really focus in on, especially, you know, I know here we've been low in numbers, people have been gone on vacation and stuff like that, and I feel like there's a close-knit family here at this church, and I want to encourage you guys to tap deeper into that. I have a lot of friends in ministry that I do church with, camps and other things, and when we come together closer and closer, that's the best moments that we have in serving our Lord, because we're serving together. We have each other's back, and it's 100% love and a trust between us as believers, but between us and God, and relying on Him. And I would like to just encourage our church to, you know what, we need to get more connected, more, I can't even think of the word, just closer. We always need a closer relationship with God, but that even magnifies more when we become closer with each other. You know, I've seen the kids that go to camp with me, before that, it's a certain relationship. After camp, it's totally different. I can't describe it to you. I probably couldn't if I sat down and tried to write it in words. It's different. I'm not going to say it's like a relationship before you know Christ and after. It's not like that, but it's almost unexplainable. It's different. It's a closeness that can't be explained. It can't be bought. It can't be forced. And I pray for more of that here. It's already here, but I pray that more and more that we become more like that. Because when we become more like that and more hooked together as a family, that negativity will cease. And the one thing that matters is proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior. That's going to resound through this city and this nation. And I'll encourage you, if I'm bad about this, because I have people that text me and call me and encourage me and pray for me, I'm bad about not doing that for certain people that I know I should be doing it for. And, you know, like I said, I'll go out and pray for somebody out in public. I'll talk to them. Say, well, let me pray for you. I'll do that. But I know on my part, I'm lacking where I need to start doing that more. And God's been talking to me about that. And that helps us become more close as a family and a body of believers, supporting one another, loving one another. You know, the Bible talks about we come together as a church family. You know, when we cry, we should be crying together. We mourn, we should mourn together. When we rejoice, we should be happy for each other. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we look at, oh, they're happy and excited because of this great thing in their life. Well, I'm just jealous. It's all about the family and the body, and if the body's healthy. And I just want to encourage you guys to be, and myself too, be more diligent in loving and sharing and encouraging one another, because I lack in that as well. So if anybody else doesn't have anything to share, then we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Anybody? No?